Hello and welcome to the One of a Kind You podcast. This is a podcast where we explore the transformative journey of healing from within. I'm your host, Kim Keen, a certified life coach and holistic healer, and I'm here to share my personal healing journey and provide a supportive space for yours. Whether you're dealing with childhood trauma, emotional wounds, or seeking a path to holistic well-being, you're not alone. Join me each week as we dive into stories, strategies, and insights that will help you feel more connected, empowered, and ready to embrace your own healing journey. Let's walk this path together, one step at a time, and welcome to my community. Hello, and welcome to another episode of One of a Kind You. I am here with Carla. She is a dot sister of mine, and I know Carla from Polka Dot Powerhouse. And she's in the Maryland chapter, and I am an honorary dot member of that chapter. And so Carla and I connected a little while back. I asked to connect with Carla because I just love her energy. And she spoke at the chapter meeting. And so when we were connecting, we were talking, and I said, I have a podcast. Come on down and join us. And she said, absolutely. So here we are. So that is how I know Carla. She is a Polka Dot Powerhouse dot sister. I also know that she does balloon, I'm going to say art, but she can tell me if that's not right, because she did a beautiful balloon archway for her chapter's second birthday with beautiful pink and orange and gold balloons. And so, yeah. So Carla, tell us what else there is to know about you.
Wow. It'd take a couple of years to get through all of my stuff.
Well, I know you do. So I know a little bit more about Carla. I know you have some properties down in, hold on. You told me yesterday, Alabama. That's not right.
Yes, that is right. That it is out. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Shenanigans.
Yes. As you get older, you keep reinventing yourself. So I as opportunities come into my life, I try to embrace them and run with them and see where they go. So yeah, one of the things I do, well, my day job, I'm a government employee. But I have a couple other businesses. One of them is I do balloon decor. So a lot of people usually when they describe it, they say you did a sculpture. I was like, oh, I'll take that. That means it was very intentional. And the other thing I do is I do property investment. And yeah, it every time I go to Alabama, I end up it end up being an adventure.
Yeah.
Sometimes I don't want to be in an adventure, but I get pulled into it anyway. And I come back with stories, and I tell folks, I'm like, you won't believe what happened. So now I don't even say you won't believe it happened, because they believe it. I'm like, I got pictures. I got proof that it happened. I'm like, wow. So I usually post my Facebook shenanigans.
Yeah. Yeah. And it keeps life interesting for sure.
Oh yeah. Yes, they are.
Yeah. So it's funny. So Carla and I made plans for this episode months ago, and the day before she called, she was like, I think I'm missing something. And I was like, actually, no, I never gave you the guest form. So actually I missed something. And she was like, well, what are we talking about? I was like, well, what do you want to talk about? And she was like, oh gosh, there's so much to share. So, Carla has, like she said, a lot of life experience. And so she and I chatted briefly yesterday, just making a game plan for today. But she actually spoke at one of the chapter meetings. And I feel awful that I don't remember what you spoke about. But it was like, I could relate to so many parts of your story. So can you tell us what you
spoke about? Imposter syndrome.
That's right. Yes. Duh. So that's why I'm like, oh, yes, I relate, because I have that sometimes, too. Don't we all?
Yeah, I talked about that. I talked about the imposter syndrome. And it was shocking when a lot of the ladies came up and said, I would have never thought that was something you dealt with. And I was like, really? You just like, no, I'm like, oh my gosh, yes. I said, especially, first of all, just being, when I grew up, I grew up in a predominantly white neighborhood, city. In the rural South. So that had a lasting effect. And then I chose a profession that was predominantly male and white. So that had an effect.
Yeah.
Then I started working for the military. So yeah. So it's just, I kept choosing, Yeah, I was like, okay, all right, let me, yeah, I'm gonna figure this out. So, yeah, I have had to deal with imposter syndrome over and over again. So, and then when I started business, and that was another thing, I'm like, I've never done this before. You know, when do you get to say that you're a professional? You know, that kind of thing. And I was like, oh my God. And then I started doing property investment. So, you know, that is predominantly not, you know, not a lot of women. I was not seeing a lot of women doing it. But
Yeah.
one of the things I had going for me was my dad was a handyman. So as a kid, I would help him. You know, it started out just handing him tools, and he would say, "Oh, you a girl, you don't want to get dirty and do this stuff." And I was like, "Daddy, you know, at some point in my life, I'm gonna buy a house, so I gotta know how to fix some stuff." And he said, "You know, you're right." So
Yeah.
after that, I had no problems. He was like, "Okay, so I'll get the truck, bag it up, and go pick up tools, and I'll go pick up supplies for him." And I still had my little girly side too. So that was sort of like a dichotomy. But yeah, I have a lot of different interests.
Yeah.
So.
Well, full transparency, full confession. I also kind of thought, like, wow, Carla has imposter syndrome when you spoke at that meeting, because one of the things that I thought about you before I heard you speak was how like self-assured and confident you are, because you have a magnetic personality. You have like you're very charismatic. So I just
So nice of you to say thank you so much. I
no, I just
appreciate that.
Yeah. And so whenever I would see you at a dot meeting, I was like, wow, she is really comfortable in her skin. She really knows who she is. She's got it together. And so then when you said that you struggle with the imposter syndrome, I was like, wait, really? What? Huh? I was like, huh, isn't that interesting?
It is. I think, as I was telling you yesterday, is that I for the longest time I had I'm going through my healing process, and I used to hate anybody say surprise. I'm like, I did not like surprises. I'm like, I don't like surprises. Just kind of tell me what's going on. And I've gotten to a point now that I'm okay with surprises, as I was telling you. And I was like, you know, I had to think back. I'm like, you know what? I think I've done some. I did some pretty good healing, because there was a time, I mean, you say surprise, I my face would drop, and I all the what ifs would just go through, and all the scenarios I would play them through my mind, and they never were good.
Yes.
And then I, you know, sometimes I will have to walk away, go in the bathroom, hyperventilate, come back, and like, oh well, you know, if you just could tell me just a little bit, or you know, can we discuss this a little bit? So yeah, it's when you said something about we can talk about a different thing, especially womanhood. I was like, oh yeah, I could discuss womanhood, because I got 55 years of that.
Right. And it's interesting though, because even though your background growing up is vastly different from my background growing up, I feel like there are such commonalities for just women in general. So, and I love, by the way, that you pick arenas, I'm going to say arenas to play in that are not like the typical arena for women. Like you push the boundaries and you go for the thing that is a little bit scary or a little bit like against the status quo. So, like, I think that's like pretty badass.
I just loved science as a kid. I started, I mean, at five, I pretty much knew what I wanted to do. It was like, I love science. I would take my little friend who ended up being my high school sweetheart, and I would drag him out, and I would go in the woods and get leaves. Then we would go in ponds and, you know, get stuff out of that and put them in jars and take them home and freak my mom out. And then, you know, and she was like, you can't bring that in the house. And I'm like, try to negotiate, but can I keep it on the porch? That kind of thing. So I knew it was going to be something definitely science. And I knew that. But it wasn't until I got older, you know, middle school, that I started realizing, ain't that many girls liking the stuff you liking?
Yeah.
So I was like, but I'm gonna do it anyway, because that's what I like. That's what, you know, nothing else is, you know, hold my interest. So yeah, I have had a habit of picking things that a lot of women and not a lot of Black women have done. But I'm okay with that. If I got to be a trailblazer and bring somebody with me, that's okay.
Yeah, and I think it's great because it paves the way. But I also think too, it shows because oftentimes, you know, like, so when I was five, I wanted to be a teacher. That's what I wanted to be when I grew up. And I was a teacher. And then I was miserable being a teacher. I love the kids and I love teaching, but I didn't want to be stuck in the classroom all day long. You know, and I didn't want to deal with the asshole parents, but that's neither here nor there. So, but
I did that for a year. I taught for a year science. And it wasn't the kids, it was the daggum bureaucracy of, oh no, I was not built for that.
Yeah, it's the politics of education, and that's the thing that they don't tell you about. Actually, I shouldn't say, like, a lot of the parents are great. It's just a couple, it's like one or two parents, it's like who make the, like, the bad apple ruins the bunch. And it's same for the kids. Like, there's only like one or two kids every school year who you're just like, oh my gosh, you little turd, I'm gonna strangle you. But it's a lot of it, and that's all because of the bureaucracy. Mama Wynn, don't start. So UPS is at the neighbor's house and shoot, the dog is rumbling. And like I told you yesterday, I was like, inevitably Amazon or UPS comes if the dogs bark. And I'm like, well, there's the delivery truck. 1 second, let me mute. But it's a lot of the politics that actually make education almost unbearable to be a part of. Because you see that it's like the detriment of that it's doing to education as a whole. But I digress. But I think oftentimes there are like defined roles. Like, girls typically weren't geared, like, sent in the science pathways. They were sent in more of like the helping pathways. Like, oh, you should be a nurse. You should be a teacher. Not girls do science. Like, even in the 80s and 90s when I was growing up, it was still very much like science and math are boy things. Writing and social studies are girl things. And so it wasn't until, like, really in my early in my teacher career that they started doing science, technology, engineering, mathematics, like, focus things for all kids, especially girls. So I feel like the tides are changing, and it's because of women like you who are like ready to buck the system and say, actually, no, I can do this too.
Yeah, one of the things that it just tickled me so much is when I have to go view properties, and I'm looking for a contractor, and usually when I go to Alabama, I was telling you that's where I invest primarily. I have like a really short window, so I'm out with guys, you know, I'm like, I need the roof done, and I need this, and I need this, and then they start feeding me some bullcrap stuff, and I stop, and sometimes my cousin is with me, so he knows. And he'll start laughing, and I was like, don't say anything. So towards the end, one day he did say something. He's like, you're gonna do it? I said, yeah. I was like, listen, God, no, that's not gonna work. I'm like, I have laid floors before, so no, that's too much, and your timeline isn't good. And I'm like, the only reason why I'm not doing it is because I have a really short timeline that I need to get it done. But yeah, it is funny too. And then I was like, oh, okay. And then we have a discussion about, you know, how to install stuff or something. Like, yeah, I've done that before. And they'll say a couple of buzzwords. I'm like, yeah, I know what that is. Yeah. So yeah, it you still get it. But but it's funny sometimes. It I have started to, you know, it's become entertaining. It's uh-huh. Entertainment now. So I used to get mad. You know, I was like, you know, they just think I'm some. And I'm like, now I turn around, I was like, oh, okay, you want to play that game? Okay, we can do it. All right, we'll do that.
She's like, game on, dude. She's like, buckle up, because you don't know what you signed yourself up for.
It's like, you know, it is. So, yeah, I really like helping women. You know, I've met quite a number of women say I'm interested in doing this. And I was like, you know, I'm willing to help you any way I can. You know, I want financial independence, and this is one of the ways to get to it. And, you know, you got to learn how to do stuff, and learning is, you know, if you don't know, and you just get somebody to say, hey, just walk me through. You don't have to know everything. You know, there's just some things, you know, I tell people, when you walk through a house, go and walk through everything, open closet doors. If you don't know what it is, write it down or either take a picture and like, sometimes it just, you know, that don't feel right or that don't look right or that don't smell right. And I was like, yeah, use your senses. And then, you know, later on you can look it up or you can do research or you can call me and I don't know everything, but I can find somebody who can get us an answer. But yeah, I love property investment. It's one of my many loves. I love reading, I love writing. I got, you know, I was telling you I got so many interests.
Yeah, but I think it's great that you're encouraging women to listen to their senses, because that's really our intuition. And I feel like the other thing that happens is that so often we're told not to listen to our senses, even when they're screaming that something doesn't look right or sound right or smell right. We're told like, oh no, you actually, everything's fine. Don't listen to that little voice inside telling you that something's off. And then we think like, okay, yeah, we must be wrong. And we stop listening. So like, have you
and
ever
I had to do that for myself, because I used to, I was telling you that I'm a survivor. And one of the things that is just so toxic and does leave an effect on your life is that you start distrusting your intuition, because something told you it was wrong, but you listened to somebody else and they told you it wasn't, or you were overreacting, or it's not as bad as you think it is. And it took years for me to get to that place. And one of the things I had to do at my last relationship was I got out of it, because I'm like, I started thinking I've been pouring into everybody, kids, relationship. I was taking care of my dad, I was taking care of my mom. I have a lot of animals in my house. And I'm like, finally, I decided, you know what? I'm getting out of this relationship. This is not for me. It's not helping me. I'm not getting what I need out of it. And when I said that out loud, I was like, okay, this is not what I need. This time for you to just say, you know, you don't have to be angry or anything. It's just not what you want. It wasn't a big blow up or anything. It was like, this was not what I want. So I decided, you know what? Pour into yourself. You know, you're not getting what you need. How about you create what you need for you? And when I started doing that, I was like, oh, okay. And I was like, you know, I was taking myself out to dinner, which I'd never minded doing stuff for myself. But I started pointing to me. And then all of a sudden, most of my life, I never really felt safe. And I never. I felt, you know, like, oh, it's so, you know, it's okay. But it wasn't until I started doing that and I created this place that I felt safe for me, inside of me. And I think there's something happened when you're 50. It's like a something. I've heard this for years, you know, growing up. It's like that. When you hit 50, there's a switch that just clicks and your life completely changes. That is so true. It is so true. It is so true. And once I left the relationship, I'm not in a relationship now. I am very happy. I enjoy my day. I enjoy my life. I'm creating stuff just for me. I have stuff left over to share with other people, and I happily do so. I don't feel resentment. I don't feel like I'm losing out like I used to secretly and wouldn't say anything to anybody. But yeah, womanhood is a good hood to be in.
Yeah. In the valley of the journey.
Yeah, it is. When you said it about, you said, we can come on and talk about a lot of different things. We can just talk about, like, yeah, I can do womanhood. I could do that.
Yeah. I mean, because we're women, but I feel like just the journey to get to that place, you know, I've heard, oh, like when you hit 40, things change. And I would say that that's true, because now I'm in my early 40s and closer to being mid 40s than early 40s. But I feel like 30s, that was like really kind of my rough time. That was when I started my healing journey, was in my early 30s. And so it was not until like my late 30s where I felt like I really started to settle into who I was. But then when I hit 40, I felt like another shift. And so I'm like, ooh, okay, I don't have to fear the 50s. I can look forward to the 50s. Because if another
let me tell you 50, yes, let me tell you, 50 is another shift, and it is. It is freeing. I mean, I'm you it, stuff that Bob, you just like, hey, I am here, but I don't have a lot longer, but I got some time,
Yes.
and the rest of my time is gonna be about me. So
Yes.
you do a whole because your kids, you're like, okay, they're okay. They can take care of themselves. I got them to a point where they can take care of themselves. So all of my mental energy and time and all that, I don't have to, sit there and, worry about them. So you, yeah, 50 is a good, it is good. It is wonderful. 40s were rough for me. My
Okay.
40s were, I had a lot of stuff going on. I was a single mom. I was caring for an elderly father. I was the only, breadwinner. My ex-spouse was not helping much, with the raising of the kids. And then I started having a medical issue. And one of the things was I kept going to the, I was having problems and I kept going to the doctor. And one of the things she said, and I remember this, and it's pissed me off every time I think about it. She was like, well, you're in your 40s, stuff happens, you're not, And then come to find out that I was undiagnosed with a thyroid condition for 7 years.
Wow.
And I mean, I was exhausted. I was tired. My hair was falling out. It was horrible, horrible. And I kept going. I'm like, listen, something is not right. That was my end. I'm like, I've been in this body for 40 years. Something is not right. And then finally, I was talking to my best friend. And I was telling her, I'm like, I'm like, I don't know what else to do. I know something is not right. So she was just upset for me, and she said, I'm gonna find you a doctor that, I'm gonna call my daughter, who's a doctor, and we're gonna find somebody. And when I changed doctors, and I went in, and I was, feeling really bad. I was like, this man is probably gonna tell me the same thing, what I've already been told. And I told him my story. And he came in, he said, I'm on, he said, I'll have your answer in 15 minutes. So he came back in and he said to me, he was like, it's your thyroid. I was like, what? He was like, yeah. I said, I literally went to my doctor because I got a degree in biology. I'm like, is it my, she said, no, it's not your thyroid. I'm like, it's something is going on. It's something is not going on. And because my dad was sick, and at the point he was slowly dying, I was pouring my energy into him, and then I was taking him to the doctor. So we were going so much, I didn't even, at that point, I'm like, I don't want to bother because, nobody's listening to me. So yeah, after I got diagnosed and realized, it wasn't in my head, it wasn't being 40, it wasn't getting older. And it and what really hurt me so bad, it was a woman doctor who did this and said this. And I was so disheartened. I'm like, I'm coming to you as a woman, and she completely failed me. Completely. Completely. And I suffered. When I said suffer, I suffered for 7 years, 7 years of exhaustion, 7 years of, oh my gosh, just heavy periods, just misery. So yeah, 40s were not good for me.
But that's okay because you got to 50 and you were like, the change is a coming, and you made the change, so it's good.
So once I got once I figured out what was going on, I came up with a plan. I talked to my doctor and then made some decisions about my health. And one of the things that I did was I had a hysterectomy, and that was definitely life changing because I felt so much better. But and then 50 came around, and I was like, hey, something that clicked in the brain, and I'm like, yeah, I am. You, it's a different feeling from 40s to 50s. You, and I, like I said, I just started investing in myself and wrote down my dreams and my bucket list. And I was like, okay, each year I'm gonna do two different things, and then I'm gonna do stuff that makes me very uncomfortable. So what, that was one of the reasons why I came on the podcast. I'm like, I've never done a podcast, and I used to be kind of worried about. I'm like, oh man, I'm like, I'm gonna do it. I'm gonna
Yeah.
do it.
Well, I'm
Yeah,
glad you
I'm gonna do that.
took the risk and come and chat with me. And like I said yesterday, my podcast is
Like, yes, I was like, okay, it was just, I thought about it before, and I was like, this is a sign. this is a sign. I thought about a podcast still, going on. And I was like, oh, God, I don't think I'm ready for that yet. And then when I talked to you, and then I was like, yeah, this is a sign for you to go ahead and do it. Because it was, like I said, I put it on my little bucket list of things to do. So
And honestly,
you asked at the right time. Thank you.
I'm glad I asked at the right time. And I'll say my podcast is easy because we just are chatting like two ladies in the coffee shop. I'm not grilling you with questions. I have been there, done that on podcasts where it's like they A, don't always send you the questions ahead of time. And then you get there and they're like, 10 questions. Question number one, are you ready? And it's like, okay, let me stretch, let me get ready. Okay, go. And then sometimes I'm like, oh gosh, I don't really know the answer to the question. I wish I had had a little time to prepare, but I'm like, okay, come on, Kim, you can do it, you can do it, you can do it. Okay, good, go next. And so, but then sometimes that's also super fun because it's like rapid fire and it doesn't really give you time to overthink. You just gotta like trust your intuition and share what comes to mind first and roll with it and just trust that that's what needs to be said in that moment.
You told me when I called you yesterday that that was so funny because I was thinking, I'm like, did I promise to talk about something? And when you said no, you was like, I'm feeling the same way. I was like, oh, okay. It's like, this is gonna be low key. We just like, oh, I can show up for that. I can do that. Oh yeah, actually, we gonna do this. Yeah, but I really thought I had promised to talk about a subject, and I was like, oh, let me look and. What our subject gonna be about. But yeah, this has been really good.
Like, yes, Carla, you actually did promise me a subject. You don't remember? That's it. You can't come on this podcast if you don't remember what you promised.
Make sure I didn't promise anything. But when you said the same thing, you was like, I thought, you know. That was funny. That was funny. And I told you I listened to your the podcast that you did on my walk yesterday, and I really liked it. And I just want to talk about that. Is the one you said about you didn't want to be a hypocrite and about content and people. That was a really good one. I listened to it, and I was telling you that was one of my, I don't want to say fears, but I was concerned about. Looking for a life coach, and that's been one of the things I've been really thinking about. And one of the, are they just trying to sell me something, or are they truly trying to help me become the better me that I want to be? And I like that you were honest and open, and you dealt with a subject that, for a lot of people in your profession probably would be very uncomfortable, or they wouldn't even deal with. I really thought about this and. And I, thank you so much, because that is a concern that some people probably, well, I did have, and I'm glad that you addressed it. It made me feel better. I'm like, I'm glad she did say something about it, because that is something that I have thought about. I really have, and the fact that you addressed it was really good. So you are in the lineup. You're in the podcast lineup. So when I take my walks, I'm gonna click. I'm listening to what Kim got to say today.
Yeah, it's just that's something that I struggle with all the time, and I'm really transparent with my clients and say, do I show up as much as I quote unquote should? No. Do I always say what I feel like I should? No, because oftentimes it's like in this industry, it's like, oh, follow this script. Well, that script feels ick to me because when I see other coaches doing it to me, it feels icky. So I don't want to do it to someone else. But also too, there are a lot of coaches out there who claim to be coaches who A, don't have any real life experience to make them a coach. They just think that they can make a shit ton of money in this industry, or they're really good at creating content for social media and they're making a ton of money. Again, not because they actually have anything tangible to offer, or they actually are good coaches, but they're following the tactics that their business coach is teaching them. So then I'll say ruins their credibility. So that's like the struggle that I always have is because, like as a coach, yes, this is my business. So working with clients is how I make money. But that's not the main reason that I work with clients. Like when I was in my own healing journey, I really struggled because I was in therapy and it was awful. It was an absolute train wreck. And I suffered in silence, really. I didn't feel like I could tell anybody that I was struggling. I didn't really know what else to do or try until the therapist suggested yoga and meditation. And that led me to a festival, a wellness festival at the Cecil Community College. And that was where I learned about Reiki and like more holistic tools. And I started using those. But I had an experience with a neuro-linguistic programming coach who wanted to charge me $10,000 for 6 months of for her 6 month program. And when I said I couldn't afford that, she really gaslighted me into like feeling like it was my only way out of the struggle. And I was like, well, first of all,
that sounds terrible.
Yeah, I didn't have $10,000. That was like a year of tuition for my for one of my kids to go to private school. And I was like, if I take this $10,000 that I don't have and I use it on this program and it doesn't work, A, I'll see myself as a failure more than I already do. And B, I'll have screwed my finances. And what am I, how am I going to pay for my kids' school? And I'll still be stuck in the same awful place. I just was like, I couldn't take
and feeling like a bad mom too.
Yes, feeling like a bad mom, but also like even more of a failure as a person and feeling like, okay, well, this is as good as life is going to get, pretty shitty. Like, so I really, the reason I started this business is so that I could help people who are struggling. So for me, it really is more about the impact and helping them get past the struggle to the other side of it so that they can do the things that they want to do or feel the way that they want to feel. And then of course, money is the added bonus. But like for me, it really truly is about the impact because I really struggled and it was awful. And I just don't want other people to struggle like that if they don't have to.
That is so good of you. Yeah, that is so, yeah. That altruism, that is really nice. And it's good to see and talk to you and I usually be sitting beside each other giggling, so, but.
And not really being able to talk because we're in a networking meeting. So we have to be quiet and let other people have a turn to talk and listen to the speaker.
But yeah, I am so happy I ran into you at the dot meeting that you showed up. I'm going to, my plan is I want to go out to the, and visit other chapters. So, and hopefully I run into some more wonderful people like you. But it has it, this, meeting you and a lot of the other ladies is just, it was the what reason why I joined. I really was looking for a support system because I'm so used to doing stuff by myself and, you know, struggling by myself. And, you know, my motto is, you know, make it work. Yeah. So I was like, you know, it's okay to ask for help. And, you know, and then I found you all and the fact that it's, you know, everybody's on a different journey, but everybody collectively is trying to become better people, better business owners. They're looking for connection. They're looking for somebody to collaborate. They're looking for a support system. And it is really good to have women in your life that does that for you. That it is so important. It's so important to have.
Yeah. Yeah. So, well, if you go to another chapter nearby, you could like let me know, text me, and we'll make a plan to go like to meet up so that we're at the meeting together.
Okay. Hey, that is definitely a plan. Yeah. Hopefully, well, stuff is kind of calming down a little bit in one area of my life, but then I have been really these last 6 months. My property investment, it literally has blown up.
Yeah.
I mean, to the point I've got people calling me, which is so wonderful, you know, but that they trust me with their property. And it's like, you know, I think you'll do right by it. And because it's usually a lot of older people who are, you know, just want to divest. And there's it. And I really feel honored. And they'll call me and say, you know, I want to sell, but I wanted to go to a person I like or somebody I know would do right by the property or, you know. So I have had to put my balloon business on the back burner a little bit. But it's still good. I take blessings wherever they come. That's why I've been open. Like, Lord, whatever blessings you want to bestow, whatever the universe has to offer, I will follow. I am open to them all.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Yeah, so it's good. I feel so honored and happy, and yeah, it's a good thing. It's crazy stuff still happen. I still have stories to tell and stuff. I'm like, you won't believe this one. It's the kind of stories. And I was like, yeah, that is something. But yeah, it asked to make my life interesting.
Yeah, for sure. Well, ladies, it has been such a joy chatting with Carla. And we're going to end on the note of like, take the blessings as you receive them and go where the universe leads you to go, because I think that's such a beautiful way to end this episode. So thank you so much for tuning in today to listen to another episode of One of a Kind You. If you would be so kind to leave a review, I'd be so appreciative. I take the time to read all the reviews to ensure that this podcast continues to be a place of support and guidance and a resource that's valuable and helpful. And if this episode was helpful, please feel free to share it with a friend. The more, the merrier.